Jim Diamond joins us once again. Jim, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. All those awful segues fits right into bringing me in, I guess, right?
No, far from it, my man. the Predators are, they can trade away Seth Jones and not miss a beat on their back end. You know, Ekholm, like they had five legit defensemen, and that's what allowed them to make that trade and really give them, you know, a legitimate number one center for the first time maybe in franchise history.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at Jones, who was a third pairing defenseman here, and you know, you make a trade, he's I would assume that the top defenseman on the Blue Jackets. A lot of people, you know, like to talk about who wins trades, but I think in this instance, it filled a dire need, you know, both in Columbus and in Nashville, and you know, here in Nashville for a number one center, and Columbus for a top defenseman like that. So it's a testament to how good the Predators have been at drafting and developing defensemen basically since their franchise's inception.
Looking now with Johansson, you've had, you know, a significant amount of time to watch it. How has it changed just the makeup of their team?
Well, I mean, it gives them the first line center that they've never had. David Poile has always kind of, or you know, when he made the trade, he said that they've always been, you know, good enough to not draft in the top five picks, and that's where you get those top line centers that so many teams covet that they just couldn't get. But also, in addition to giving them a first line center, it allows Mike Ribeiro and Mike Fisher to slide down into the number two and number three center roles, which are probably, you know, perfect fits for both of them, you know, just for the different types of games, you know, game that they play. And it's really just kind of led the Predators to have just, you know, basically three and almost four just very balanced offensive lines.
Well, the one line that's become really balanced is because of the emergence of Philip Forsberg. We saw it last year, and, you know, he's just continued to build on that this season.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's been mostly of late, too. He's got 28 goals on the year, and I think 18 of them have come since January 1st. But you're absolutely right. The Ribeiro-Smith line with Forsberg has just been unstoppable. Other teams are rolling out their best defensive line and deep pairings, trying to shut them down. But they just find ways to get goals and beat teams. They're just playing that well. Everything is clicking for them.
When you look at the Preds, they're likely to finish in fourth, and it's a battle for 1, 2, and 3, Chicago, St. Louis, and Dallas. Is Dallas the obvious team they want to meet because of their blue line?
Yeah, I think, you know, if it comes to it, there's really no, you know, great matchup against them. They've struggled against Chicago and, you know, St. Louis for all their injuries, that they've played really well. Dallas seems to be maybe fizzling out a little bit, kind of like the Predators did last year. So if they were to catch a Central Division team, I would think Dallas would be the one, depending on, you know, where the Predators finish in the wild card pecking. And you know, there's also the possibility that they get the top team in the Pacific. So still a little bit of hockey left to be played, but I think you know, Dallas, of the other Central Division teams, would probably be the preferable one.
Yeah, well, yeah, Chicago, St. Louis, the Blues have suddenly heated up, Jim. But really, no one's hotter than the Preds. What has been the turnaround for them to, up until the Saturday night loss, go undefeated in 14?
I think a lot of it is Pekarinen. He was shaky for most of the season and, you know, was in the All-Star game, so he had all that. It seemed like a lot of fatigue on him. And Peter Laviolette gave him a couple of games off, got Carter Hutton in, and Hutton played well, which, you know, allowed Laviolette to play him in a couple of more games. And Rene has looked great ever since. So maybe it was a mental break, maybe it was a physical break, maybe both. But, you know, they're getting strong goaltending. And again, we touched on the Forsberg, Ribeiro, Smith line. So, you know, things have just been clicking for him.
Jim Diamond joins us from the Ringside Report. Nashville Predators in town tonight. Pekka Rinne. Now we have Kevin Woodley on, who's kind of a goalie guru guy who works with a lot of the NHL goalies, and you know, they've been talking about Pekka Rinne, and you look at his numbers in games where when he had fewer shots, he seemed to struggle, and when they gave up more shots, he was way better. Now recently, even though their shot totals have went up, Pekka Rinne and the coach both feel their team has tightened up defensively. So does that mean teams are just settling for outside shots and maybe they're taking more of them, but they're easier shots? How do you look at the two differences as a guy who watches it?
Yeah, I couldn't say that. I mean, it seems like they're getting some chances, and every night there's one or two, you know, Pekka-Rinne highlight saves that seem to make their reels. So they are getting some more consistency defensively. They did make a little bit of a change, you know, sitting Barrett Jackman down for the last few games. I think he's going to get back in tonight. But you know, it has been a solid defensive effort. But I think the chances have been there. Just Rene's been a little bit better than maybe he was early in the season.
You know, and Rene's an interesting one because he's been so dominant in Nashville for years, where the, you know, they relied on the triangle really with Suter and Weber and Rene, and that was the backbone of their team. But now with Johansson, the emergence of Philippe Forsberg, you bring in James Neal. Like, the Preds actually have some offensive firepower, and they still have Shea Weber, and you know, they've got some other really good defensemen as well on the back end. Is this team built, in your eyes, even though they won't have as many points as previous Preds teams, maybe more balanced and a team that could actually win a round or two in the postseason?
Yeah, I do. I think this is an extremely balanced team. You talked about, you know, Shea Weber, you know, going from, you know, losing Ryan Suter as a partner, but he inherited Roman Josi. And I don't think when that happened, a lot of people were thinking that Josi would develop into the player that he has. But, you know, those guys are rolling out just about every other shift, playing, you know, upwards of, you know, 24, 25 minutes a night. So, you know, they're not relying on their second and third pairing defensemen as much. And they are getting scoring from the other line, so it really is a balanced team. You know, one that, you know, another team can't just focus on shutting down one line, because so much offense does come from their defense. So it does help.
Well, yeah, well, I think Todd McClellan was talking about 22 goals from the power play, just from the appointment on the power play, no less. Like, that's huge production. We all know about Shea Weber's shot, but Ryan Ellis is a much better shooter than maybe people know.
Absolutely, he's small in stature, but he absolutely can fire the puck. He plays the you know, the point on the second pairing. So, you know, again, you know, teams try to key on Weber and Josi, but then they roll, you know, Ekholm and Ellis out there, and those guys, you know, play together quite a bit. Just, you know, during 5-on-5 play, so they've developed quite a bit of chemistry together. So, you know, if there's a power play, the Predators are generating, you know, usually very good chances, and it usually stems from a good shot from the point. You know, whether it's off of Weber's stick or Ellis.
And then there's Ellis and Weber, and then Roman Josi, of course, you know, just and even Mattias Ekholm, big, strong, skates extremely well. I know he doesn't get a lot of power play time for that team, but, you know, he scored the last time they were in town here in Edmonton. And with Jones leaving, you know, has Ekholm taken on even a bigger role? And is there certain elements of his game that we're seeing even more of on a regular basis?
Absolutely. I think Jones, you know, got a lot of attention, and deservedly so, for how well he handled the puck and could skate the puck all the way up the ice. I think Ekholm's really kind of taken the reins, you know, of that and does the same too. He sees the ice extremely well. As you mentioned, he's a pretty big body for a defenseman to move like that, but it does, you know, he's very good at drawing defenders to him and you know, maybe finding Ellis, because he's an excellent passer as well. So if he draws some defenders to him, he's excellent at finding a little lane there to try and get a pass back or even get a shot off himself.
Now, looking at the bottom six for the Predators, it's interesting. Colin Wilson, you know, at least due to a daily faceoff, they have him listed on the fourth line. Is that right?
That is correct.
So what's like, have the wheels just fallen off for Wilson? What's gone wrong? Because this is, you know, a former number 7th overall pick that, you know, had shown bits and pieces of offense. What's kind of gone sideways in his game offensively?
There's no question. He was, you know, kind of widely reported that he and Barry Trotz didn't get along well, and they thought the switch to Peter Laviolette would go well, and you know, seemed to do very well last year and was mm-hmm. very good in the playoff series against Chicago. But this year just hasn't been able to get anything going. You know, was fighting a nagging lower body injury earlier in the season, but he just hasn't been able to get much going. And I know with the Predators hoping to get Jimmy Vesey out of Harvard, I'm thinking, you know, Wilson could be the odd man out if they do lure Vesey out of Harvard once their season ends, because he just has not produced anything for him.
I was going to ask you, would Wilson ask for a trade, do you think? Have you talked to him? How frustrated is he with the situation? Is he a guy you think just needs maybe a new change of address?
Yeah, I haven't asked him specifically about that, but he just, you know, got a new deal, you know, after last season. So, you know, things just don't seem to be going well. And, you know, I don't think, you know, Peter Laviolette, you know, is kind of a demanding coach, and you know, he asks a lot of his players. So there's, you know, there's a chance that could happen, but I wouldn't say that we've talked about it specifically, but something's got to change. He's far too talented and too good, you know, from what he's shown, you know, at times and definitely in the playoffs last year to just be struggling this badly.
Yeah, it's unique to see how some players, especially like he had scored 22 goals last season, and I think he had five in the playoff series. Like, you know, I remember at the end of last season, people were thinking, okay, finally, you know, here's a guy who took 6 or 7 years, but finally found his calling card to be maybe a 20 goal scorer. And now I look at his numbers, and I know you mentioned the injury, Jim. What do you, any idea what the injury was? Because I know sometimes a guy can come back and he plays, but he's still not really healthy.
Yeah, there wasn't any obvious, you know, knee or ankle type of thing. So speculation has been maybe it was a groin or something like that. And, you know, that's where all of your power comes from as a hockey player. So, I mean, if that's still bothering him, that definitely could be a reason. But, if you're the Predators and it's bothering him and he's not producing, I think you sit him down until he gets right physically. But there's been no confirmation officially on what it was. But, you know, it just can't continue like this.
Well, Jim, we'll see you down at the rink as the Predators trying to make a push to possibly catch Chicago, who is reeling a little bit. And the Preds, ideally, I'm sure, would like to finish third, because there's a good chance you might see Dallas in the third spot compared to St. Louis if you're in fourth.
Yeah, just a few games left, but, you know, always fun to watch how these matchups, you know, shake out depending on how teams, you know, rise or fall during this stretch around here.